Welcome back to the Creative Vets Podcast. Today is a very special episode. Who do we have on today, Brett?
Today we have a number one songwriter, and he's also the producer and session musician for all the Creative Vets sessions. So all the music you hear from Creative Vets, he's a part of. And he is a band member of Blackjack Billy. His name is Jeff Copeland.
And what's super special about Jeff and the band Blackjack Billy is they wrote our very first ever Creative Vets song. And we're going to get into that because that song just dropped today. So go listen, but right after you listen to this episode, let's jump into it. We always just we go right into it. It just no little segue. So
Hello, Jeff.
We just is super casual. We just come in here and start chitty chatting. Sometimes we're halfway through a conversation when Brett hits record, and that's how this podcast starts. So
and he edits nothing out. I take it.
No.
I don't even know what editing is.
What about my potty mouth?
Are you close? Are you good with your mic check?
Oh, maybe I'm.
Yeah, I was like, don't talk so far away. The people want to hear you, Brett. So we're in the studio with Jeff Copeland. What up? How's your morning?
Hey. It's good. I'm tired.
You tired? Yeah.
Yeah, I found a stray dog on New Year's Day and, you know, have to get up early. He's not house trained yet. It's like having a baby.
No, it really is. That's
insane. I'm a little lacking of sleep these days, but happy to be here.
We're lacking of sleep just because of Clubhouse.
Yeah, we were up late.
Which we talked about earlier.
That's happened to me the last two nights. I've been on there for 3 or 4 hours.
The app that's taken over the world. We're just getting Jeff on this app too. And for anybody who doesn't know about Clubhouse, it's an invite-only social media app where you could just network like crazy. There's realtors on there networking with other realtors, but obviously we use it for music industry. And I'm using it for also just veterans. There's a ton of veterans on there and veteran entrepreneurs and veteran artists, and I'm going to host Creative Vets groups on there and clubhouses to where we could just have conversations.
What a brilliant idea, just to get veterans to talk to veterans from all across America, anywhere, even internationally, right? Is it just a North American thing?
No, that was the cool thing about it is I joined the other morning. I was up super early before my alarm even, and I was just like, okay, I'm just going to go work out. And by the time I got to the gym, it was like 5 a.m. here, and someone was hosting a military transition room. It was 6 a.m. there in New York. And I went in there, and there was only like 6 other veterans, but they're all very high-profile veterans talking about like military transition, and it was so awesome to connect. And I told them my story, and we networked, and it was awesome because now we have some leads on some stuff that is going to help Creative Vets. You never know what you're going to find when you're on there.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get back to this because we're so pumped to have you, especially because it's February. It's February. I just bumped my mic, and we're doing something huge this month.
Can we talk about it yet?
Heck yeah, because we're going to release this probably on the day. We'll do this one a little bit off. So if you're hearing this, it's probably February 20th. It's also my birthday right now.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
This is like Back to the Future stuff. What's going on here? Where are we?
Yeah, the 20th is my birthday. We pre-recorded this, obviously. We're also launching our song, Until It Feels Like Home.
Yes.
Which Jeff was a part of, his band Blackjack Billy. Three of the members, two are still in the band, right?
Yeah.
And then we wrote this with a veteran. And the thing that's really special about this writing session was this is the one that started it all. It started
the pilot.
Creative Vets for the most part. And I talked about this in the first podcast where we go over my story, was that Creative Vets wasn't an idea as a nonprofit. It was just something that songwriting helped me. I wanted to see if it helped other veterans. Jesse was a close friend. We had just met you at Spinnaker's after I wrote. I, of course, name dropped Mark Irwin just because it was the only songwriter I knew.
Were you down there for the Chive thing or?
No, this was for just spring break. Spinnaker's.
You came down to see my band? Because that's where I met Jeff actually.
I'm glad we're talking about this because I really want to sit with you and get the true like how we had met and how it's happened, because I the timing's a little, because there's Freedom Fries in there somewhere.
Yep. I was gonna get to that too, which is awesome. We were going down just normal spring break. The girl I was seeing at the time was like, and I think you all were playing there. And so it was like, hey, let's just go down together, because we all stayed in the same area, like Jeremy Durbin and a bunch of people were down there from Peoria. And we saw Blackjack Billy perform, and legitimately, compared to like Brett's band Brushfire, like what they were doing was that rock country that you just got captured into the music. No matter if it was a cover or original, you're just like kind of captivated by the presence. then I saw Blackjack Billy and I was like, oh my gosh, this is another band that just brings it. Every song you guys played out there, we were so pumped by.
Thank you, bro.
And I remember we were walking in back into the Spinnaker's after we saw your show, and I think Noel even climbed up the
on the speakers.
Up on the speakers.
He climbed up on top of the stack of speakers. Yeah. And what was the sound man's name? He was flipping
out. Oh, I bet.
Huxley. Oh. Was it, or, yeah. Was it Huxley? Huxley Ford?
Yeah, that was a scary moment.
So then we're walking in. It's the second night, and I think you guys were probably about to play again. And then someone was like, hey, those are the guys from Blackjack Billy. Let's just go say hey to them. And so we went up, and we started talking. And then in conversation, I was just saying how we bring veterans, or how I just brought a veteran to Nashville. And Jeremy Durbin, who's with us, he actually showed you the photo of Jesse on the Harley. And he's like, this guy. And then I name dropped Mark Irwin because he was number one writer, and I knew you guys wrote and stuff in Nashville. And then how was it? I think I said something like, you told me, you're like, yeah, I actually wrote Love and Theft's
Angel Eyes.
Angel Eyes. Yeah. And I said, that's so funny because I wrote a parody to that song called Freedom Fries. And then you said, I've seen that.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, didn't that happen before? I'm pretty sure we met on Instagram.
No, well, I sent you it on Twitter. You never responded to it. I legitimately, when I wrote that song and I recorded that little video, I went to like Wikipedia or wherever I did to find who the writers were. And I just tweeted it at all the writers. Nobody really responded. You may have said something back. I don't have a Twitter anymore. I'd go look.
Yeah, neither do I. But
I would have. You may have responded to it there, but I did not connect those dots even until you said you've seen it. I was like, wait, how did he see it? Because it only has like 500 views.
Oh, I totally remember.
Then I was like, I actually pinged him with it and showed it to him. So it was just so weird how all these things came together. And after we showed you that photo and I dropped Mark Irwin's name, I said, would you guys ever want to do the same thing Mark did, which is write with a veteran that I'd bring down? And here he is.
Yeah.
And you guys were like, yeah, let's do it. And we exchanged numbers, and then we wrote a song. It was awesome.
Yeah, without that conversation, Creative Vets might not have existed if you guys didn't
I'm sure it would have found a way. I mean, it's really amazing to sit here now. What was that, 7 years ago?
2013.
Yeah.
8 years ago. So, we're going on 8 years. And to see what you've built out of that is really inspiring and amazing, and you should be extremely proud of yourself.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. We always talk about how it's like, how do we one up last year? Every year it's something else happens to where we say there's no way we can go any further than this. Like when we partner with the Opry, and we're like, where do we go from here? But then all of a sudden we partner with Big Machine Records. We're like, where do we go from here? and it just keeps going. And it's been amazing because if it wasn't for Nashville, if I would have tried to set this up in LA or New York or Atlanta and Austin, anywhere else there's music people, I honestly don't think the reception would have been as well. And not just because, I mean, this is such a small town, and I think the culture of country music is so inviting, and everyone here doesn't, even the celebrities, they don't feel like celebrities, I think, because the music industry is very respectful of boundaries, rather than if you go to LA and you're trying to be an actor, if you are an actor, you probably run up to one and be like, hey, I'm an actor too, how do I do this stuff? Yeah. Here, it doesn't seem like you get that as much. It seems like people are respectful because it's such a small town. You still get every once in a while, but I still feel like it's pretty decent in this town.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Steven Tyler at Whole Foods in Green Hills, and nobody had their phone out.
That's insane.
It's funny, he forgot something, and he sprinted back to grab whatever he needed, and then came back up to the line.
So Brett chased him with his camera.
You figure Steven Tyler would be the exception to that, you know?
He's a huge rock star for sure.
Well, that's awesome. But I want to hear your experience from the things you do remember about. Let's go back to that writing session moment, or even because obviously it was so long ago, but it'll just be a good refresher too. Just trying to get these.
Honestly, you were my introduction into the entire veteran world, because I was very naive, sheltered, living in my own bubble. You know, I grew up in Canada, moved to Nashville, and really didn't have. There was nobody in my family. I didn't know anybody that was in the military. I mean, I was just. I knew all about it, but I didn't have any personal experience with it. And, you know, thank you for introducing me to it all. I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, Rob has some military in his family. He was our one of our original members. And, you know, he was, and Noel and myself, we were all super, you know, honored to help in any way that we can. You know, I've always been a firm believer in the power of music, and it's there's no, you know, there's no language like the language of music, no way to reach people, no way to bring people together, to spread a message, to help, to heal. Even if it's just a feeling you get from listening to a song, it's all such, you know, it's wonderful. So any way to get involved directly like that, you know, when you write songs, you know what it's like, right? You write songs, Brett, you perform, you don't really know how they really reach people until you get a letter from a fan, something telling you how much their song moved them. But this was a chance to really, in a writing setting, to help somebody get their story out. Somebody who has you know, a really hard time just even expressing themselves, and to give them an opportunity to do that, we were like, yes, please.
And you hit the nail on the head, because it's, I would try to explain this to artists and even songwriters. You could perform for 1,000 veterans, and you're going to give them this momentary sense of release and this happiness and this, like, oh, this great experience. But if you write with one veteran and tell their story, you're actually going to help all 1,000 of those veterans by playing that music for them and changing the life of the veteran that you wrote with.
Oh.
It's just so impactful what you can do when you lend these. And I talked last night on Clubhouse. I was talking to the songwriters. I said, you don't understand that the gift you have can actually save lives. And it, we take it for granted as normal writers, being able to write a love song 1,000 different ways. It's like, oh yeah, that's cool, I could do that. But then when you put that on someone like Jesse, who's never told his story before, and you say, wait, maybe I could help him tell his story for the first time. Like, that's a true gift.
But back then, it was also as much about you as it was about Jesse. And, you know, when you talked to me and you explained to me how art and music has helped you get this far, was so, I mean, just heart-wrenchingly beautiful. And that was really inspiring to me. We haven't even met Jesse, and I was just so excited to just help you. And looking back now at the Freedom Fries thing, you know, as silly as it may sound, I mean, you were experimenting with art to just get it out there. Something now that I realize you had never done before. And the fact that you're doing parodies without necessarily having the songwriting skills that you now have learned over the years, that's a skill in itself. And just being able to express yourself and how it made you feel to do that and put it out and connect. And then you connected with me, even though we didn't know it yet, you know, and that's all like great, wonderful things. So I was really, back then at the beginning, it was more about you. And then when you show up with Jesse, holy cow. I mean, that was one of the most emotionally amazing days I've ever experienced, just to really get in there and listen to this man and you, because you were being the mentor in the session, watching you help him open up and not, you know, having had therapy unsuccessfully and, you know, shut off from the world, to listen to this man finally express himself and be able to talk about what he's been through was, you know, what an honor to be there to help him do that. So thank you.
Well, I mean, it was beautiful to me to be able to guide Jesse through that process, because I knew that if he would be willing to tell his story, that I can get any veteran to tell their story. And it was, in every part of that trip was what was, I was taking notes the whole time to being like, how am I going to help a stranger veteran, someone I'd never met before? How do I help them? And so just being able to be that guide and be that battle buddy, I just knew what I needed if it was me telling the story to y'all. And I knew that I would have to reference my own personal stories and be vulnerable in front of Jesse so he can also feel safe and do it. And I still remember the moment that we kind of pitched that idea of about walking through hell for so long and that it felt like home.
Oh, yeah.
And your guys' perspective, because like you said, you've never dealt with veterans before. Now you're looking at this guy who lost his leg and has burns over 60% of his body, and hearing about me being blown up 4 times and lose my friend. And we're like, here's this, what we want to talk about. And it, the disconnect being like, wait, you guys want to go back? And it wasn't obviously to glorify war. It was because when you do something for so long, you just feel comfortable there. If you're a janitor for 40 years 100%. And then someone wants to throw you into accounting, even though it's more money, you're going to feel so awkward and so uncomfortable. That's how we felt. We trained to go to war, and we finally get there, and we're living there, and we come home, and that's why we feel so disconnected to the world, because that's all we've known to that point. And that's kind of the message that we're trying to get out. And I still remember guys' faces being like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah, the thing that got me the most was the first line of the chorus, I'd still go back, I'd do it all again. I mean, how just without even blinking, you guys, you know, both have that mentality where I would be wanting the heck out of there as fast as possible. But just the fact that it's like, no, this is what we do. It's an honor to do it. Our buddies are still out there doing it, you know, and that all the injuries and all the stuff that you went through didn't take away from that was just so humbling. And let me just thank my brothers, Noel and Rob, for being there with me through that, because I could not have gone through that session by myself. They were like a rock for me personally to get through that ride, because
we all need our battle buddies. And that's why I actually always pair, even when the rider's pretty strong and they're like, I could do this by myself. I always encourage another rider to be there with them so that, for one, I could focus on the veteran mainly, because I'm the hybrid where I could write lyric and I could work with a veteran, but my main job is to help the veteran tell that story. And I want to make sure that the pro riders never feel too bad or too, you know, because it is intense when you write with a veteran. I did a side project out in LA writing with some veterans, and this wasn't even near as deep and passionate and emotional as the Kravitz writes. And two writers who wrote the first 2 days, they said they had nightmares that night and they couldn't write the next few days.
Wow.
And sometimes I forget that if you're so disconnected to this, that just hearing these stories and being a songwriter, you're super like empathetic and you feel like you try to put yourself in their shoes so you could write the best lyrics. And so they were really taking this on almost as a burden. So it is intense. The songs get intense, but once we get out of them, it's usually a story that will help bridge that gap between the military-civilian divide. Like Jesse, when he went home and he finally shared it with his friends and family, and his sister-in-law was like, I never knew he thought this way. When we just went back up to record that music video, his son said he didn't even know he wrote a song. He's like, Dad, I didn't even know your song. Then he put a comment on the video of you guys singing his song, and he's like, I love you, Dad. This is a great song.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so intense because, again, it's still Jesse. He's still, like, you know, hard. But he was able to share it with his family. Now his son gets to hear it too as he grows up. It's kind of like my dad was in the Navy, never talked about it, never told me anything about it. But it wasn't until I found his actual Navy yearbook, like the photos of him on the aircraft carriers, that he started telling me stories. So I feel like it's the same way. That song for Jesse now is that way to kind of pass it on and share that story.
So I'm going to ask you a question, because I'm really curious how this felt for you. So this was the first one where you actually brought a buddy of yours and tried to give them the same experience that you went through. This was the first,
The very first one.
Okay, so what was like that for you to, you know, inaugurate this mentor role?
Oh my God.
That you took on to basically set up what you've been doing for the last 7 years.
Well, what I realized was that I didn't tell the story I wanted to tell, because I didn't have someone to guide me through it. So with Jesse, it was instant. It's just like a songwriting session. When you have three people in a room and you're talking, you get that instant feedback. You get, if you're writing the song and you switch tenses halfway through and you're by yourself, those are things that you won't pick up on sometimes. But when you have that instant feedback from someone, be like, hey, no, we just did, you know, first person. Now you did third person. We need to switch that real quick. And then it just helps you like real smooth. That's how I feel like with the veterans. When I told my story, I was just very direct. I was like, well, I was blown up, so I don't want to talk about that. And my buddy died, I want to talk about that. And then it all happened in Iraq, so let's talk about that. I had nobody to say, no. What's the thing that is hurting you the most right now? Mm. Let's like throw all this other stuff away. Those could be other songs, but let's focus in on the thing that's holding you back right now. So I didn't have that. So I ended up getting that writing session like 4 years down the road when I was in LA doing it for myself, saying, I ended up writing a song called Angel on My Shoulders, which is because I have that tattoo of Luke, and it was his perspective telling me not to kill myself because I got to live for both of us.
Wow.
Like, it took me like 4 years to figure out that's the song that I needed. So to be able to do that for Jesse and get it right the first time, being like, I really pushing him to say, what is it that you need to connect with people? What do you need your family to understand? And when it came down to that and we were successful at it, I was so pumped. I was just like, yes, this has to be a thing, to the point to where it was a few years back, we partnered with another organization, and I paired a mentor with a veteran. And at one point, the guy who was running it was like, hey, can we just leave the mentor out of this and let the veteran go in there with the writers? And I was like, no. I was like, you don't understand. Even if they have a little bit of discommunication right now, when they get in that room and that veteran wants to tell those deep, dark secrets, he's not going to look at the songwriter and say it. He's going to look at the veteran who has been through something that he's been through, and that's who he's going to pour it out to, because he needs that battle buddy in the room.
What a beautiful thing on so many levels. It doesn't just help the new songwriter, it helps the mentor. Because, you know, if you want to learn something, try to teach somebody to do it. You learn yourself in the teaching. So they get it at a whole other level the second time they come back and help another veteran. What a wonderful thing you're giving. And then that songwriter will then be a mentor in the future sometimes.
So every veteran will become, so we did the first virtual program ever because of COVID. We had four or five veterans in that first virtual session. And I was sitting here thinking, well, it's not in person. They still get to meet with their mentor. They still do the phone calls, but they meet in like a virtual room. How successful this is going to be. And one of the veterans he did the session. It was with another mentor. And he came out of it and he wrote to us and he called us and he was telling us how it legitimately changed his life and how he didn't know songwriting would help him and just he wanted to be involved. So we actually brought him as a mentor for the very next one. That's what starts the healing, but I want him to continue to heal. And that's what helps me when I give my speeches about, you know, zero was killing myself, 100 was me before war. I was at a 9 when I discovered art and music. And then I was at an 85 when I came out of it and I started Creative Vets. And I became a 95 when I started helping the veterans because that gave me another sense of purpose and it healed me every time because although we're focusing on their story, I still learning things from their session. I still remember one time sitting in a room and I had this real big issue with a lot of PTSD and TBI. You get like a loss of emotion and a lack of like wanting interest in other things. And although I knew, like I felt like when I first came home, I couldn't love anymore. I couldn't feel it. I knew what it was, but I couldn't feel it. And I never heard anybody else say that until I was sitting in a session and this Marine next to me said the exact words. And I almost started crying right there in the session. I was like, wait, how could I have been so dumb? I know that other veterans must feel this way, but I didn't actually think they felt this way until he said it. And I felt so connected and I felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders because I wasn't alone. And so, yeah, every session I learn something new. It makes me feel more connected, and it just keeps me going. It is my therapy.
We've had that feedback before. So Michael is a veteran you're talking about. He actually said that being a mentor, he got more out of the program than just being the veteran that came through the program.
That's wonderful. I hope you realize the reach that it does to beyond just the writing and just with the veteran that you're working with. I mean, the entire music community that is involved in, you know, producing the recordings for you for the last while, how that extends to every musician that plays on the recordings, to this, you know, to the Ruckus Room and Jamie and Dusty that have been very generous with their place. Just the conversations I've had with the players, you know, from Jerry McPherson to Nick Buda and Mike Royhouse, like our regulars that we bring in, they get so much out of this. And I can't even sit there. For hours, I could tell you how it's affected me in a positive way. Just Nashville as a music community, you know, they're so grateful and so generous when it comes to being able to do something like this, because it's so easy to get stuck in a rut of just trying to write for radio and recording songs all the time just to pay your bills, and the studios are going nonstop, and these players are playing like 1,000 songs. Like, you know, Jerry said the other day, this is my, like, this is my reprise. This is my church for me, you know, in while doing music. He looks forward to these so much. And that's just, you know, I just want you to, you know that. I guess I've never told you that. It's like the guys that help out are just, you know, from their heart, they just love doing it and are so moved by it. So
that's awesome. That's the first time I really realized that it was helping writers as well, and not to name drop, but when Daryl Worley wrote with a veteran, he because we set it up with his management, and so it was like a month or two out, and then the day of, we didn't know this, but like Daryl comes in and he's like, hey man, he's like, I just gotta tell you this story. He's like, so obviously my management set this up. I told him I wanted to do this a long time ago, but I forgot. And when my management said, hey, you have a ride on Tuesday, I was like, what? No, cancel it. I've been touring all this time. I have like 3 days in town with my family. And she's like, no, it's that veteran, right? He said, never mind. I need this. And so Daryl came in. He was telling us it because he said, this is what resets me. This is what keeps me going. And to be able to just come in here, and we were with a Vietnam veteran, and be able to like share this story and help tell your story, He's like, that's why I came to Nashville. I didn't come here to do all the songs that I'm doing now. He usually writes really good songs anyways, but not to get into that Nashville funk of just what's going to be on radio next week. What are we going to try to get to? Where's that pitch list of like who's accepting songs and what style songs? It was like, this is my reset. So that's so good to hear that the musicians too, because sometimes I wonder when they're obviously hearing the song, they're obviously hearing the music in the song, like in their heads. But I was wondering how close they paid attention to the lyric.
Okay, well, that's something that I think for them, a lot of them do. I mean, like that, you could always tell, just so people listening know the process, and we could backtrack and talk about
how we get there after.
But the process of when we record, you know, the songs will be written the day before. Again, we'll get into more detail later. But and then we as musicians gather in a studio and we'll play this thing called a work tape, which is basically just a recording live of once a song was written, whoever sings it and plays guitar into, say, their phone. And then that's what we get to listen to. And then we actually have to record it. So you can always tell when the musicians, we all gather around, we listen to the work tape. They're listening to the song. We have the chart and they're thinking musically. But once in a while with some of the songs, you know, you just see and they're just like, how am I going to play on this? This is so beautiful. So they are, you know, they are absorbing it in. And of course I make sure to send them all the music after and then they send me comments later. But for me personally, you know, I work on the songs. Once we leave the studio, I take them home and I'll work on them. I'll mix them. I'll sing background vocals on a lot of them, most of them usually. And so I absorb all the lyrics to every song that we get. And there's been a lot of songs. And yeah. For me, it's like, what a wonderful way to it's better than any book I could read or, you know, conversations, because these are people's stories and these are their truths. These are the things that have been, you know, that are built up inside of them and helping them heal, you know, and I get one at a time to absorb them one at a time. I can't. Yeah, it's been really, really cool to do that. And it's like a constant thing, which is great. It's therapeutic for me as well. Some of the things that they're talking about are so relatable to just regular life beyond just our personal experience, and that's what's been great about all of these songs that have come out of the program. I mean, just the themes of hope that come out of all the stuff that you guys have been through, and the constant theme of family and the support network that they have, and the struggles and the alienation coming back into civilian life, which, you know, everybody experiences in some degree or another alienation in their life, feeling like they don't belong, isolation, anxiety, depression. I mean, these are common human things, and you guys get it in such an a compounded, exaggerated dump of it. I've been so inspired by the words that are coming out of these veterans and the Nashville songwriters that have incorporated their stuff into it as well.
I think that's why all these songs that were written by veterans for veterans still resonate with civilians, because people, you know, we're not that different.
Mm-hmm.
So people go through experiences, whether it's war or not, but like you said, everybody kind of relates to, you know, I've been anxious before, I've been depressed before, I felt isolated before. So that's what I always go back to, is don't try to write a good song, try to write a real song, and mm-hmm. that's what's going to resonate.
Yeah, and that veteran's the final editor. And the reason that we get a lot of the family songs, too, isn't just because they're like, I want to write a song to my wife. It's typically because they want to explain something to them that they think they've never been able to communicate before. And so when we give them the one opportunity to say, what's the one thing that you need to say or get off your chest, a lot of it is like, I want my wife to know how I truly feel so that hopefully we can have an understanding and we can grow as a couple. Mm. And the same thing with the Vietnam veteran we had come who wrote one for his daughter and his family. And because you're holding that in for 40 years, never knowing that you have the words for it. Mm-hmm. And then you finally have someone who can craft words for you and put it out there. That's why we get a ton of family songs. Mm. And it's beautiful too, because each one of those I could listen to and be like, mm-hmm. yes, this is what I would say too. It's so relatable. And that's why we want to push it to the world, so every veteran out there feels it. And again, it's every warrior, really. Anybody who's been through traumatic experience should be able to hear these songs and kind of strip away even the veteran portion of it and just say, if I've been through traumatic experience, this is what I would try to, how I would explain my emotions. Because situations are all different in trauma, emotions are always the same. Mm-hmm. And so if you can captivate that, like that emotion, pull it out and push it in the right way with words, people are just going to be attracted to that. And that's what you all as songwriters do so well. But I do want to talk about the whole recording session process, because this was so new to me. At first, we didn't have a lot of money with Creative Vets. We still don't have a ton, but we only had enough to do very one-off demos.
Yeah.
Where we'd just be like, you know, one producer like yourself or Nathan Kogan, and we say, here's a work tape, and you'd have to play all the instruments. So this is like another level, and I would love just to explain this for because there's a lot of veterans who follow us who are trying to become artists.
Okay.
So that whole session mentality is so different than just sending it to someone to do a quick demo.
Sure. So, well, I was very fortunate, back to Jesse's song, Until Feels Like Home. What were the other songs that followed that? There was Warrior.
I think on that one, it was just, wasn't it just Warrior Until It Feels Like Home?
I think you had three songs at that point. And then I said, hey, I could actually go in and cut these for you. Let me show you what it's like, as an example of what this could be as a full recording, you know. And back then, you know, there was no budget, there was no nothing. So, you know, we had everybody who played on it, did it pro bono, the studio donated their time, cartage, everything. Everybody did it. Just very generously, and I'm very thankful for the team back then to do that. So, how that differs from now that you have a budget, we try to do it monthly. But in Nashville, these musicians are very used to making record quality recordings with very little time. It's a skill that I think only exists in Nashville. So, you know, having come from New York City. Before I moved to Nashville, the way that we would make records was you would go in, you would cut the drums, maybe with a bass, and then you start stacking instruments one at a time. You bring a guitar player in, you overdub, then you bring in, a keyboard player, then the vocalist comes in, then you stack the backgrounds, and you're building this thing piece by piece. And it could take anywhere from, a week to record a song to months, depending on how much you want to mess with it. You know, some artists would take a year to do an album. But you come to Nashville, and this blew my mind about Nashville when I first started taking trips down here in the early 2000s, was that they had these cats that you would walk in. You had a 3-hour union session. Everything's union down here. So you got 3 hours to work. And then they would come in and with anywhere from 3 to 10 songs sometimes, demos, and they would, like I said, have these work tapes. They'd have these charts written out. This is without musical notation. This is basically, Nashville has this unique thing called the number system, where if you know anything about music, there's a 1 chord, which is the root of the thing, and then you would have a 4 chord, a 5, a 6, and it doesn't matter what key that you're in. It would be a number system. So if you knew your basic chords, a chart would basically be just a bunch of numbers, which were the chords and whatever key you decided to play it at. And that's what they had to work with. So they could sight read these charts, listen to the work tape once, and they would have 10, 15 minutes to live, full band in a studio, sometimes 7, 8 guys, would track a song in 15 minutes, and it would sound great.
Yeah, it's insane. I still don't understand it.
Yeah, it would sound great. And that's just a skill that, so me as a musician, I could play multiple instruments, and I've recorded many, many, many records over the years. I've been doing this 25 years, and I could not do what these guys do at all. You know, I could not go in live in one pass and have a great guitar track done with cool sounds, parts, everything, you know, just stream of conscious, boom, done, next song.
Sometimes they're not even listening to the song. They're like talking in the background.
Oh,
like they listen to like the first verse and they're like, okay, I got it.
It's insane. And, you know, when you do that every day, there is, you know, people will argue that, okay, well, the way that songs are recorded like that, they start all sounding the same after a while. And there is a little bit of that. But what blew me away about when we started doing it for Creative Vets, is the guys put on a different hat right away. So they come in, they hear these songs, and they really care about it. And we're also doing completely, you know, like the guys are so good that we'll try different styles sometimes. Because we're not thinking about radio. We're not thinking about my job as a producer for something like this is completely different than when I produce other stuff for radio. I'm just so free to be in there and just let the creative expression go. Let the feeling of what the song brings you, the lyrics, what the songwriters are trying to say, lead however you want to express yourself musically without having any restrictions. And we've captured some, I think we've captured some beautiful, beautiful tracks.
Oh, they are.
That really, you know, speak for what the lyrics are, you know, that when that happens in 20 minutes, it really is magic. And like I said, I've been doing this a long time and I have experienced so many moments of magic being in the studio with these guys recording these songs. And, you know, pre-COVID, having all the veterans there, you know, we're in for, just to paint a picture for you guys out there. So Ruckus Room, the studio, is not the largest studio in the world. It's got a decent sized control room for Nashville, which is great. And it's beautifully set up to record. I think we're five guys that we cut. We go in, I play bass. We have a drummer, a guitar player, electric guitar player, an acoustic guitar player, and then a keyboard player. So that's five guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, then the session song or singer sometimes.
Yeah. And then there's a singer in there singing so that we have something to follow. Sometimes it's the actual singer of the song, but when we're doing these recordings, we're not worried about capturing vocals as much as we are getting everything but the vocals.
Yep.
And so there's the five of us plus the singer, and then there's Jamie Tate. It's his studio, and he's the recording engineer, and then his assistant, Dusty. And then Brett's usually there. Richard's usually there. And then there's all the songwriters for
and
all the songs.
Normally there'd be nobody else in the control room.
Normally there'd be nobody in the control room. There's the five songwriters are usually there.
There's the
plus
veterans.
The veterans.
The mentors.
And the mentors. I mean, we've had times where it's just a lot of tall men. Like 20 guys sometimes in this place. And it's amazing. It's a wonderful experience. Everybody's cool. The whole vibe is always great. It's always positive. It's always very healing. I'm just watching the veterans. They're all lined up there in the front on their little chairs. Brett puts the chairs out in front of the window so they could see what's going on. And it's
an amazing process. Yeah. Even if you're not, if you just wrote a song and it's your first time demoing your song, it is a magical experience seeing your song come to life.
I can't imagine what it's like for somebody who doesn't understand the process to you know, have an idea in their head the night before, the day before they're writing it. How do you write, you know, they're whatever's in their head is now an actual song. But they don't really know what that really means yet. It's just, here's the songwriter playing it back, what will become the work tape, to say if they like it. But then to then go to the studio and hear it be translated into a two-track stereo mix of a recording that then they could then take and play for people, that must be just mind-blowing.
Oh, and... Yeah. That process, and also when we first started this, adding the extra day and having the veterans come in, there's always little things that happen in our programming that are probably subconscious, but they end up working really well. And one of the pieces that we were missing before was a veteran would write their own song, and they'd get their song, and they'd head out. But the power of them hearing the other veterans' songs as they come to life is so rewarding.
I didn't think about that. So they're listening to their buddies that are next to them, and their songs one at a time.
Yeah, and most of the time they come all as strangers. There's five veterans who come here as strangers, and they all split off with their mentors. And so they're learning kind of as the group goes out through the 4 days, but they're writing individually by themselves in their songs. So they don't know what the guy, you know, who served in Iraq was writing, or the guy who served in Vietnam or Afghanistan. And so they're all just talking about their experiences just being on cloud nine after that writing session. So they go into that room the next day and they are waiting for their song to come up, but they're intentionally listening to these other songs. And all of a sudden they even know that they're not alone out there because they're hearing them in real time come to life. And seeing them kind of like hug each other after not knowing each other and all of a sudden just coming up and crying and hugging each other after hearing a song that they relate to, it's such a beautiful thing to see. And it just makes the program that much better because we're also helping them understand that they're not alone and hearing these other people's stories.
Wow.
Right? We had to take a pause right there. It is, when you sit here and think about that, it's a beautiful thing. And we are so excited to release these songs. So we have over 100 of them, and we have probably like 40 now recorded like this in the sessions. And one big thing we're doing now, which today, February 20th, which is a Saturday, which is off, you know, we usually release other days. on the 20th of every single month, we're going to release another veteran song. And we're doing this strategically because it's roughly 20 veterans and military personnel that commit suicide each day. And so we're trying to bring this awareness around that number. And 14 of those 20 never seek help. And so having music being able to reach inside their homes has always been a part of what we're doing, so we can reach those veterans who don't seek help. So that's another reason why every artist on our songs is Creative Vets and then is featuring. So when we did Love and Theft, it was Creative Vets was the artist featuring Love and Theft, because we know if a veteran was in their home and they said, Alexa, play music by veterans, or they randomly heard one of our songs and they'd be like, who's singing this? They see Creative Vets and then Love and Theft, be like, wait, what is Creative Vets? And they search us, and then they find us, and they see that they can come out and write their songs. So it's all about reaching into their homes and pulling those veterans out. So this awareness campaign is going to be absolutely amazing. And maybe you saw us on Fox and Friends today, and that's why you're here.
Oh, that went great, didn't it?
Oh, it was so good. That interview with Jesse
was wonderful.
Amazing. You look good. Yeah, Noel didn't look as good.
Well, you know, it's fine. Okay.
But I hope it brought you here, because these are important stories. And it just means that the awareness is getting out there and more people will really focus in on what's happening, and our music will help kind of bridge this gap, because we have so many different styles of songs, like we talked about earlier, songs from veterans to their spouses, songs from veterans to their children, like Unbroken, which was just so beautiful, him singing that song to his kids. And just so many different songs that are going to just help connect a really divided country right now. And a lot of people who don't understand different cultures, and the military is a culture. And so to be able to put this music out there so people can understand, I really feel like it'll just open people up to what's out there and how people think and how they can think differently than you, and it be okay because they're explaining why they think differently and you're really diving into that. So we're just really pumped to have this music out there, and we're pumped to have you on all these songs. And aren't you going to do, you're part of the next writing session we have coming up too, right?
Yeah.
And absolutely. You're going to be producing it too. Mm-hmm. You're the main man. You're a go-to.
I feel like, I think I've only... really haven't done a lot of writing. I think I've only been to 4 writing sessions, but it was just an honor to be there at the beginning. But all the work I get to do recording, and like I said, absorbing these songs one at a time and helping them come to life, has been as rewarding, rewarding in a different way than the writing of it. But just, yeah, to be a part of it, it's an honor. So thank you.
It's an honor to have you, because again, having this be our first push for veteran awareness suicide, having it be the first song we ever wrote with the first veteran,
that's beautiful.
And it's my birthday.
Hey! and Jesse, I can't wait to see Jesse.
You just
Fox
did
and
on
Friends,
Fox
even
and
though I did this morning. We're in the future.
And then we'll have to probably go on tour because of the song is going to blow up.
Yep.
So it's just going to be all good things. I'm super pumped to have you here. Is there anything else you wanted to chat about before we head out? Because
just
a wealth of knowledge in the music industry.
After that write, we played a couple of shows in Illinois. And it was just amazing to see you guys all come out, and Jesse and his whole crew coming out to see a couple of shows. And to get to stay in touch with them back then, and really get to see the fruits of that session, you know, to see him just, and the conversations we've had following it was so rewarding to see how much it actually helped him. And to even hear from his wife about it, just how grateful she is that he, you know, that you gave him that gift. So that was even more rewarding than the beginning.
Oh yeah, the follow-up is always
good. Now to see him doing so well so many years later, I mean, that's got to, and how many people you've helped in that way, to see them, you know, go from rock bottom to thriving like you have, is incredible. And it's all because of art.
Yeah.
And creativity, and it takes somebody like you to take that and I'm going to nominate you for CNN Hero of the Year.
Well, thank you so much.
You just don't know it yet, but it's going to happen. It may have happened already by February 20th.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And I just encourage people to go after what they need to go after. Because, again, I was in the beginning, I wouldn't say it was selfish, but I was doing everything for me, not for veterans, because I was trying to figure out what was wrong with me, like inside, saying, why do I feel anxiety? Why do I feel depression? And once I noticed that it was art that helped me, I didn't say, well, I'm not the type of dude to do art or music. I just leaned in on it. And even to go back to the parodies thing, I was only doing that because of my brain injury and trying to learn structure of songs. And I thought, if I can consistently rewrite these words for these songs, that Rolodex in my head that recalls words will be stronger. Because that was my problem. Back in the day, I would say a lot of muh, muh, and try to find words. And so my speech pathologist said I should be practicing other words, vocabulary that I never used before.
Wow.
So songwriting parodies, I had probably over like 15 of them, 20 of them. But we only recorded like two of those for fun reasons. But that was actually to train my brain to learn structure, but also to just reuse words and find new words. And it helped me.
Wow, you just blown my mind here. So I write a song called Angel Eyes, right, with a group called Love and Theft. You do a parody of it called Freedom Fries. We sort of meet online. And then we meet later.
In person, not knowing it.
In person, in a completely other situation, not knowing that that's really cool.
There's been so many things with Creative Vets that just seem like a one in a million chance.
Yeah.
And they keep happening. So that's what, it just feels like it's kind of meant to be, like Creative Vets is here to stay.
Oh, absolutely.
Heck yeah, listen on that. Creative Vets is here to stay. Thank you so much, Jeff Copeland, for coming in here. We'll see you guys. Wow, wow, wow. That was awesome. I get so pumped about these conversations because Jeff remembers this completely different way I do. They're both accurate, but we remember different things about it. And so when I'm saying these stories and he's like, oh my gosh, I didn't remember that. Or hearing him connect the dots, that was probably one of the coolest things when I told him about the parodies and he just went back to, wow, this is like a one in a million chance. And it really was. And I'm just so thankful to have Jeff and Noel and Rob who took that time to write with veterans. But out of the whole conversation, what did you take out
of this? Well, it's great for me to hear Jeff's perspective because I've always heard your perspective of the right where Jesse was in the right and he was really kind of shut down. And it wasn't until like Noel started singing his words that he really lightened up. But hearing Jeff saying how like emotionally draining it was for him and he had to rely on Noel and Rob just to get through the session.
So, yeah, it's rough, man. It's a lot of people don't get it, and I think they will now a little bit. These stories are so powerful. But the other cool thing is the session musicians. Like, what did you take away from there? Did you learn anything from that? Or I mean, you know most of it because you get to sit in here.
I kind of knew it, most of it. I didn't realize how much the session guys and Jamie at the Ruckus Room really embrace what Creative Vets is doing.
Oh, yeah, that got me too.
He's like, this is like their church. And
well, it's what resets them. And that's the coolest part of it. And we definitely need Jamie on here because he probably even might interact with those session musicians more. But mm-hmm. for them to take that time and then reset, because we hear back sometimes from the veterans like years afterwards saying, you don't know how much this changed my life. And we're kind of like, that's awesome, but I wish you would have told me earlier.
Right.
Which is kind of selfish, but still, I want to know this because it helps me keep going. It was really cool. And I didn't even think about that perspective of the actual session musicians who are so far removed from this besides recording the song that they would be reaching out to Jeff saying, this is why we do this, or this is like a reset, which is what the songwriting session is for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely amazing. So thank you everyone for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Make sure you listen to Until It Feels Like Home by Creative Vets featuring Blackjack Billy.
Don't forget that. See ya.